Let's start this third session, which is focusing on national policy development. And now I want to say thanks. Thanks all you are here and those who are with us online. It has been very nice to be here and listen what is happening and what kind of future will be, I hope so. As you already know, in most countries, lifelong guidance is shared policy and administrative responsible of several ministries at national and regional levels. Ministries typical involved includes education and skills, higher education and research, vocational training, employment, youth and social affairs. So many, many things. Many member states have established national council or forums for lifelong guidance or joint administrative units or committees to ensure cooperation and coordination on lifelong guidance from both policy and administrative perspective. Many countries have found out that cross-sectoral cooperation is crucial in development coercive guidance service. As an input for our decision, we will now hear recent development from Norway. Ms. Tonje Grovås, senior advisor, Norwegian Agency for Lifelong Living, VOX, will introduce how they have enhanced the national development by means of national cross-sectoral cooperation. And some words about Tonje. She is a sociologist, and her career beginning from guidance right after graduation. And that way she found her career path. She worked as a career counsel at the University of Oslo for 10 years. Before she stepped up to work with policy development at the national level in 2011, when the National Unit for Lifelong Guidance was established. So, I hand over to you, Ms. Grovås.
Thank you very much. I was actually planning to give you the whole novel of the policy development in Norway, but then since I only got about 20 minutes, I decided to give you the short story. But if you want the whole story, you will find me in the library later, okay? So I am lucky to present a story on policy development at 3:15. I'm sure you're all excited. But I'm excited, I'm always excited, because I think working on this level, being able to work with my background as a career guidance practitioner, and as I said, stepping up, sometimes I wonder if it's up or down or where I'm going, but I got the chance to step up and work with policy development on a national level, which is really, really interesting and challenging. And also a lot of fun, every day. So I will try to take you through a short story beginning in 2002 and telling you just a little bit about what we've been doing in Norway. And I was reflecting upon the recent presentations. None of us is ever at an ending point. We're always developing. We're always on our way, and so are we in Norway. So this would be like a snapshot in time, these 10 years, what did we do and where are we now? And so maybe you can remember this next time you reflect upon, where am I going? Where is this going to end? There is no end. Okay. I will start in 2002. The OECD took out their binoculars and looked at us, as many other countries. They made the country report on Norway, and it was quite embarrassing. You know, they looked at us and they told us, you don't have enough access for career guidance, at least not for adults. The quality isn't that good, and you don't coordinate. So this was quite hard messages to get, you know, from the OECD. And in Norway, we have a long tradition of listening when the OECD looks at us and says something to us. We listen to them. You know, we're not a member of the EU, so we don't listen that much to the EU. I don't know if you do, even though you're members, but when OECD looks at us, we wake up. So this was quite embarrassing, but then again, it was the kickoff of some policy development in the beginning of that decade. So there was follow-up based on the country report, both in different kind of reports, looking closer at the different career guidance systems. Career guidance suddenly was an issue in several green papers and also in the white papers, giving some recommendations and some decisions were made at the highest policy level. One of the outcomes from this sort of process was the idea to start to establish what we call Partnership for Career Guidance and also career centers in the county. This started in 2004, so we recently celebrated the 10-year anniversary for this the start of this process. What are these Partnership for Career Guidance and the Career Centers? Basically, you can think of the partnerships as coordinating mechanism at the regional level. They have different tasks. It is a mechanism for coordination and cooperation at the county level. And I always ask myself, what is a mechanism? Who does the mechanisming, if you follow me? And there are several ways of solving this issue. In some counties, the partnership is just an agreement between at least the county administration and the PES administration. But there could also be an agreement where other stakeholders would join in, as the social partners, maybe the communities, maybe also regional development offices, also the higher education institutions. They could join into these partnerships. And in some counties, there would also be a person being this partnership, doing operational work. But in other counties, this would be left to the career centers to do. I will talk about that in a minute. It's financed partly by the partners themselves, and also the Ministry of Education gives them some funding. By now, 18 of 19 counties have partnerships. And you might ask, why not 19 of 19? Well, this is nothing mandatory. It is volunteer for the counties to develop these partnerships. But we think that's quite successful by now, 18 of 19. The one missing is Oslo, which actually is, I think, 1/5 of the population. So that's not so good. So we are working on that. It's not so good. But then again, a main objective for these partnerships for career guidance is to establish and run the county career centers. From the beginning, the focus was maybe more on developing the career guidance sectors, especially the school, because this was underneath the educational Directorate for Education. But then it moved over to another body, which I will present, and then it changed a lot, and then the focus is on the career centers. Okay, so the career centers, they are our one-stop shop centers, you know? So what are these centers? Their main objectives would be to deliver individual career guidance for all adults over the age of 19. Why over the age of 19? Because that's when you end your upper secondary education. So it's very important that this is not meant to take over for the school guidance. So if you're 17 and you're not pleased with the guidance counselor at your school, you cannot go to the career center for guidance. you wouldn't be allowed. And this was very important because the career guidance practitioners in school, they were very worried when the career centers were established because, oh, they will take over our job. But no, we still keep the school guidance in schools. And actually, this is the only part in Norway that is regulated by law. So all pupils in Norway, they are entitled to get career guidance, but not adults, not yet. The career centres, they also have another very important role. They are to support the career guidance services both in school and in the PES sector. Because these, they will be specialists in career guidance, and they will have this double competence. They will both know a lot about the educational system, and they will know a lot about the work life and all the possibilities. And one problem in Norway maybe with the school guidance practitioners, they know a lot about the educational system and the possibilities in higher education, but maybe not so much about possibilities in work life. And then in the PES sector, they know a lot about work life, but not so much about education. So the idea is that the career guidance practitioners in the career centres, they will have this double view all the time. And that, as I was saying, in many counties, the career centres, they are sort of the they are the mechanism, in a way. They do a lot to help with succeeding in the coordination and the cooperation between the sectors. Of course, this happens while they are visiting the other sectors, doing things together with them, but they also do a lot of other things. They make conferences, they make meetings, they help the different levels in school to get more known and meet each other. So they, but they have filled this, these different tasks in different ways in the different counties. So it would vary a lot how they do this. So, back in the beginning of the decade, there, after the OECD report, and they started all these trials and they got some funding, and they were very active. But then in the middle of the decade, it was not good enough. Too few, and they were too different. There was a lack of coherence between how the different counties interpreted this idea of the partnership and the career centres. And in a positive way, we could say that a lot of flowers were flowering. But they were not just tulips, it was roses and daffodils, and you know, they were looking quite differently. So an understanding emerged. And during these years, other things happened. We got the council resolutions in 2004, and then another one in 2008, and then the ELGPN was established. And the ELGPN also had some input in the mindset in Norway. They were talking about something, talking about some national forum mechanism. And that what we did in Norway, they interpreted this in their own way, of course. We like to listen, but then again, we like to do it our way. So there was an understanding that we need a national coordinating mechanism, which I will present in a minute, but I think I have a poll now, don't I? Yes, so now you have to wait to find out what the mechanism is like.
And the poll relates, if you think, reflect now on the situation in Norway, what should be the first thing in establishing a coordinating mechanism? Agreeing on the area of cooperation, agreeing on the membership of the coordination mechanisms, agreeing on the leadership, or agreeing on the funding issues?
OK, Okay, you still have any opinions? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's quite interesting. Agreeing on the area of cooperation. It should be basic, but it's not so easy. I'm always astonished because I go in all these meeting all these kind of stakeholders, and sometime during every meeting we have to ask the question, what is career guidance really? What do we do when we do career guidance? And then we have to do it all again and all again. So I have realized that this is one of the things we have to keep working on. What is the subject for coordinating? What is it? How do we do it? So I'm not surprised that you think so. So what we found out in Norway, not we, because I was not a part of it. This was run by the Ministry of Education, who was the leading part in this process. And they decided that we need some kind of coordinating mechanism, but it cannot only be like a national forum with stakeholders not being able to do operative work. So what we established was what we call the National Unit for Lifelong Guidance. This was in 2011, and that's where I work. It's a unit in an agency in Norway, which is just underneath the Ministry of Education. But we are an independent agent, but we're funded by the ministry. And our unit is a part of this. And we have our special assignment from the ministry that says what we should do. And this is part of our tasks. And it would be easy for you to recognize these tasks. We are supposed to widen the access to career guidance for all. We should improve quality, and we should also contribute to better coordination and cooperation. So this would be the national level, whereas the partnerships and the career center would be the regional level. And then, of course, they gave us the task to be the leading sort of national body for the partnerships and the career centers. And they wanted us to try to make all these different flowers maybe a little bit more tulipish or rosish, not all the kind of flowers. And this has been quite a challenge, I can tell. And also we were asked to strengthen the evidence base, because a big problem in Norway is that we don't have any academic tradition for career guidance. We don't have much research, and we didn't have a lot of sort of just information about what's going on. So this has been a major task for us. Also, the ministry decided that we should chair two other mechanisms, and that would be the National Forum for Career Guidance. So we have the national forum, but they don't do the operative work. We do it. And then they gather twice a year to discuss matters. And also, we chair another group, which is called the National Coordinating Group, which consists of the heads of all the, what we in Norway call the directorates, which would be different kind of bodies from the education sector, from the ICT in education sector, from the upper higher education sector, from the PES sector. So they also meet a couple of times a year. Maybe these mechanisms looked better on paper than they actually work. I think you know, it's a challenge. I think that's the question we were discussing earlier when you were asked, They can't give away their mandate and their power and decide upon things in these mechanisms. So actually, I think it's more of information gathering and some coordinating. But one important task is that we are asked to deliver the background for the policy development upwards. So we try to gather all the opinions, and then we give the ministries a bit more coordinated signals. That would be a task. So, The unit was established in 2011, and now after 4.5 years, in 2005, if we turn our focus back to the career centers, we have them in 16 counties and two more to come in 2016. And altogether, there are 35 centers. And you might think this is a large number, but think about Norway. In one county, you might drive for 8 hours from one end to the other. So you have to have a lot of local centers. And then also 35 centers, but I think altogether there are maybe like 130 career guidance practitioners working. So there are many, but they are very small. But a lot of counties, they have put a lot of effort in developing this. And then others, they haven't. So what we see now is that even though everything started out with the binoculars from the OECD and the, you know, all the big papers on policy level, it has mainly been a bottom-up process. So if you don't have a county administration and a PES administration and people around thinking that this is a good idea, you don't have the service, which is not good. Because it's a principle in Norway that if the state engages in something, this should be a service for all people. So this is a problem. So after 10 years, still a challenge, too few, too different. So that's what we do every day. We try to focus on this, and we work and we work and we knock on doors and we make meetings and we try to scream, "Hey, minister, listen to us." And then what happened? Oh dear, another view from the outside. The OECD took their binoculars and looked at us again in 2014. I don't know if you heard about a big OECD project called Skills Strategy. And Norway was the first country they started out with us. And they made a diagnostic report as if we were with the doctor, and he looked. Okay, you have a bad knee and your head is not so good working, and what about your shoulder? And they found out, of course, the thing was not so good, not even after 10 years. But they also made an action report. They didn't only tell us what was wrong, they also gave us some advice on what to do. What is important in this skills strategy is that it's not career guidance, it's not the heading for this. That's skills development. But what happened when they had these processes, and it was quite a lot of activity going on, this wasn't OECD coming, looking, leaving, and writing. They came and they had a lot of workshops and discussions and interaction with practice level, with policy level, and then they made their reports. And what they came up with was 5 recommendations. One of them is very important, which is the first, to set up a skills strategy for Norway. But number 4, we like a lot. So out of 5 recommendations in the OECD Skills Action Report, they pointed out career guidance. Build a comprehensive career guidance system. We were so happy. We had some champagne in the office that day. Because we knew that when the OECD looking at us and saying something, people start listening. Yeah. So this is what they said. Key action 4. We should apply a whole of government approach to establish a comprehensive career guidance system covering all stages of lifelong learning and providing high quality services. This is what we've been saying all the 10 years, but then when OECD says it, somebody listens. That's my best advice to you. Get OECD to say something. I don't know. So what happened after the action report? Yes. What do you think the government is going to do? Develop a national strategy on skills development and lifelong learning. And they are working on this right now, and it's to be finished during 2016. That's the one policy follow-up they did. And then the next one, That's when we had our other bottle of champagne. That would be that the government appointed an expert committee, and they asked them to deliver a green paper, which is, you know, the paper where you, that's the basis for maybe a white paper, which would be the input of the real policy. And the green paper is supposed to be exploring how to develop a more comprehensive career guidance system in Norway. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm in the secretariat for this expert committee, trying to write down all the ideas. And this is really a big task, but it's very challenging. And I think it's a really big step ahead for us, because I was discussing during lunch, and we asked ourselves, what was the one success factor in Scotland, which is, you know, everybody wants to be Scotland now. And we were discussing maybe it was the strategy. Because if you got the strategy, for instance, if your government change, you still have the strategy. And the strategy states some of the most important issues. And you can start working, and your efforts can be grounded in the strategy. So we are very excited about the strategy. They chose three themes, and one of them is career guidance. Very happy with that. And then the expert committee was also asked to deliver a report on ICT and guidance, which we finished in October. And in this report, the expert committee, not me, the expert committee, suggests that we should develop an all-age career guidance service, web-based, make a portal, and also an e-guidance service. And the next part of the report is going to look into how all these bits and pieces can be a whole comprehensive system. How the face-to-face career guidance services in the career centers can work together with the e-guidance service, and also with the new web portal, and maybe also, and of course also with the career guidance provision in schools and in the PES sector. So this is quite a challenge to be finished in May. But we are happy with this development. But right now we're in the position where we are waiting for the next step, because as you know, it's a good thing that the question has been lifted. You know, it's climbing the ladder on the policy agenda. But then somebody's looking at us, and we can't keep on doing what we used to do. We have to wait and see now, in my opinion, what are the politicians going to decide. So we're a bit in a limbo now, but as always, very optimistic and eager to continue to develop the lifelong guidance system in Norway. And my last remark would be that all these developments had not been possible hadn't it been for the international input and the learning from other countries. I think if somebody looked closer to our system, they would find traces of ideas and the philosophy and the thinking that's embedded both in the ELGPN and in the OECD and in all the other countries. So we are very thankful for that. And that's why I'm very happy to be invited here to tell you a little bit about it. Our system is not finished. It's not at all perfect, but we are trying every day to improve it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tonya, and Norway. And now, Raimo and Jan.
Thank you. I think what we heard in the last presentation reflects some of these steps which were identified also in your country reports. Because when we were analyzing the policy development in different countries, we found out that we were asking and analyzing whether in their country responses there was an interface between one-stop centers and lifelong guidance national policies. So in some countries, the answer was no. In some countries where it was bottom-up, it was emerging. And then in some countries, they acknowledged the need for one-stop centers, but there were also countries where we had strategic initiatives. And then what was the system feature that should have been developed? It was first resources, like Tony said, that they had to deliver services or develop services, or secondly services, and then structures, and also then finally the national coordination. So we were able to find some of these action steps also within one country level. And I think one of the key issues was the look outside or the external viewer who was reviewing the national systems. But it doesn't have to be European Union or OECD. It could be a parallel initiative in a nearest region. So like having bilateral bench learning events or cross-border bench learning events, they are as important as the external overall review by the international organizations. So when we were planning to look, thinking of further actions, or when we are finishing this conference today or the seminar today, and when we are going back to our own organizations or network, we could ask ourselves then what concrete actions are needed to support service providers in mutual learning and cooperation. We should examine the policy steps as guidance is a policy of its own right, although it's contributing to more than one policy areas. We have to think about the competencies and qualifications of the trainers as one quality criteria of the national system, and then think also how do they relate to the development process of the services. And then if I try to briefly summarize some of the themes which I identified in the discussions in the plenary here and also on the discussion wall. If we look at first at the policy, there seems to be a strong consensus that there's a need for cross-sectoral dialogue within the ministry level, on the regional level, and then the professional level. So we can talk about multi-administrative cooperation, but also multi-professional cooperation when we work with our clients. And this process needs to be transparent. And then we can use ICT in documenting the services and modeling the services and identifying what are the key elements which are common to all different regions. And then we need to take care of the implementation. The implementation requires a training, the competence development of the individual users, the competence development of the practitioners, and also including and integrating this theme as an integral part of the initial and in-service training of the practitioners in different sectors. And then if we look at the last question, what are the minimum possibilities for these one-stop centres? Tony mentioned that when we had the poll, what is the most important issue when we are dealing with multisexual cooperation, it's the same result that we found out in our national research a couple of years ago when we were asking the regions what is the most important issue when we develop the cooperation. It was the common understanding. What is the area of cooperation, both in a geographical area, but also what is the topic, what is the guidance? And then the next one was who should be involved, who should be the providers, who would be the who are the service providers and those practitioners, and who, as I mentioned, who should be involved in order to agree on the common conceptual framework which they can contribute based on the competence of their own organization and personal qualifications. And then the issues relate also to mandate and funding mechanisms. But one of the key issues which emerged in there was a one quote in the wall mentioning that we are talking about many issues. We are talking about providers, policies, practice, but one of the key elements is one-stop guidance center. And I hand over to our chair to have the concluding remarks. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Raimo.